Welcome to Behind the Game, the Kids in the Game official podcast, where we cover the intersection of youth development, sports, education, and technology in the New York City landscape.
Hey everybody, Paul O'Connor here. Welcome to episode 12 of Behind the Game, Kids in the Game's official podcast. On episode 12, we are joined by Lee Eagle. He is a clinical associate professor at the Tisch Institute for Global Sport at NYU. Really awesome conversation. Appreciate Lee for coming on. And here we go. All right. We are now joined by Lee Eagle, I'm going to go with. I know it's pronounced a whole bunch of different ways, depending. But clinical associate professor here at the Tisch Institute for Global Sport at NYU. Really appreciate you having us by your office. Looking forward to the convo. And how's everything going with you guys here at NYU?
Things are going great here in the Tisch Institute. All sorts of things going on in all sorts of different directions.
Awesome. So definitely want to get, eventually learn more about things that are going on here at NYU. But wanted to start with how you got started in sports. And did you always know you wanted to work in sports? Kind of what was your pathway eventually to NYU?
Yeah, so like a good many people, had a real big interest in sports from the time I started growing up. But really getting into sports, I found that more and more I was comfortable on in sort of the back room sort of side, right? Front office, training room, these sorts of things really had me interested. No, I kept playing and participating in competitive sports through high school and into college. I found that more of my interest was really in helping people who are much better athletes than I was and than I would ever be, helping them achieve their top level of performance. And doing that, I found my way first into sports medicine and player development. In Major League Baseball and professional baseball, and in top tier ice hockey, and then it just kind of rolled from there. That led me into work in healthcare and wellness, working with senior executives of large international firms and companies, certainly with. Again, top-tier athletes and with celebrity entertainers, and the work that I did there gave me great insight into how they think and feel and behave, how they perform, and it wasn't long after that came into the sphere here at NYU, and it was really started out teaching really a couple of courses, and then it rolled into an invitation to be here for a full year as a member of the faculty, consider the full-time faculty, and then it's just rolled from there. And in work I never would have imagined doing, I'm pretty sure my high school teachers would never have imagined it. But here I am, and here we are.
Yeah, so you've been with NYU for almost 15 years now. How many? What?
Shh, don't tell. It's like, I don't know what to do with that.
But talk about the different roles that you've had here. So you started as a part-time professor.
Well, I started as an adjunct professor, which means that I was still in. So I'm still very much a part of the industry, and that's part of the work we can talk about here in a bit. But I would my. The bulk of my time was spent doing work outside of a college campus and away from a college campus, but had the opportunity first to come in as a guest speaker for a course here, and then was invited actually to teach a couple of courses as a member of the adjunct faculty. So I was here in effect, yes, we sort of look at it kind of part-time, and that was the start, and then it really, like I said, just kind of rolled from there. Really a who knew. I could look back in retrospect. Yeah, I can see how the work that I did before has led up to this.
Yep.
But in prospect, looking forward, certainly would not have known it would come to pass like
usually,
this.
Yeah. Usually how it goes, right?
Yeah. Much more fun that way, by the way,
well,
for some of us.
What are some of the courses that you're teaching now?
Now, so I've taught, in the time I've been here, I've designed and taught 31 different courses, which is either kind of, wow, you've taught, you know, done that, that's some great range, or wow, what are you doing?
It's definitely the first one.
And well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's it's a better bucket to be in. But now, lately, I've been teaching our courses, graduate courses in consulting strategies, which is a course that we run where project team students, as they're nearing completion of their program, work on real life projects with organizations on the outside. As a client, and these are real issues and real things that are going on. We actually do a bunch of work with the United States Conference of Mayors, the Mayor's Professional Sports Alliance, all things sports in the cities, and we've done more than 100 projects over the past handful of years with the Mayor's Professional Sports Alliance and different mayors.
Great experience for the students. That's awesome.
Absolutely, yeah. And happy to share with you in Arlington, Texas, where they have built and just opened not too long ago the largest esports stadium in the United States. Mayor Williams and the folks there, Ron Price at the Convention Visitor Bureau, were terrific partners in working on one of these projects. And the recommendations that came out of that project were for Arlington to further involve itself in esports as part of the identity of the city and for its next play in sports.
Wow.
And lo and behold, a few months later, there was the announcement about this esports stadium.
And so students got to be a part of...
Well, they helped make it happen, and the leadership in the city will tell you, thanks to them, in all sorts of press, whenever they get a chance, kind of go out of their way to say this was a result of the project that was worked on out of the NYU Tisch Institute. And so those projects are guided by one or two, by me and another faculty member, Liz Haas Edersheim. In any case, that's one of the projects, or one of the courses that that I teach. And then lately as well, I teach courses in really our areas of organizational behavior, called organizations and sports, consumer behavior, and we've got a course, an upper class and or class people course in innovation and entrepreneurship.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you said 31. This may be a tough question. Do you have a favorite that you've taught over the years?
Oh, they're all my children.
Nice.
You know, come on, can't pick one.
Yeah.
No, it's there. Some certainly enjoy more than others. Each one has really stretched me to work and to think in different ways. But the ones where, and by the way, part of it's also that we've updated curriculum over time. The ones, I don't know, I think really in each course, my interest is in making it real for students, because we're certainly in an academic institution, and there are really important elements of those things, sort of principles and theories and concepts that are important to get to, and you really can't learn to make good decisions without having principles in mind. But none of it really works. I think our responsibility is to make it real and to take real issues and to bring them into the classroom. And this is one of the interesting things that happens here, is in part because we're in New York City, and you could almost take it for granted that there's all this great access to opportunity.
Yep.
But, you know, in a way, like I said, that could be taken for granted. So one of the things to do is to really take advantage of it, bring it into the classroom, work it through, and then also bring it back out.
Yep.
And so, not trying to evade your question, but
no. But
I tell you that in terms of favorite ones, the ones where there's really an opportunity to make those kinds of things happen, there's always an opportunity,
yep,
but some more than others. ones where we can really sort of get into things that are happening out in the world of sports,
yeah.
bring them back in, work them through, and take them back out.
It's a perfect segue for the next question. I wanted to ask what makes NYU stand out amongst, you know, all the great sports business and sports management programs throughout the country. And obviously, being here in NYC is one of the many reasons. But in your opinion, what would you think makes NYU stand out?
Yeah. And to be sure and to be fair, there are a number of terrific programs that are out there. But I know by experience that... That certainly being in New York City is an advantage, and there is great opportunity in that. The risk of trying to sound big and profound and all these things, there's actually some, I think there's real responsibility that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be easy just to pick up a phone or write an email and have somebody come in and give a guest talk, or we go do a site visit. Those are simple, but to do it the right way is not easy.
Yeah.
And I think when you start to think about those kinds of things and go down that road, that's where we have kind of a different advantage.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Bringing it back to esports. Kids in the Game, we recently just got involved in a project with the New York Excelsior Group and Ben Nickel, which was fantastic, and our first kind of go at esports, and we put our own little take on it. But, you know, what are your thoughts on the rise of esports and how you guys can prepare students for a relatively new developing field?
Yeah, it's interesting. So in terms of esports and traditional sports, there seems to be this... big difference and great sort of divide.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's interesting, what we're seeing happening in esports, is that it's taking a bunch of the different elements, most of the things that worked, and by the way, some of the things that haven't worked, some of the things we don't like to think about when it comes to sports, sort of seedy
mm-hmm.
underbelly kind of stuff. It's all in there.
Yep.
And that's the exciting thing about esports. And that's where we see ourselves beginning to prepare. Or not even beginning. I think we're further on the road than might even appear in terms of things with esports, because all of these elements that we know about sports from... whether it's performance, whether it's the entertainment aspect, hospitality, marketing, player engagement, and you can almost bounce around, media, for sure, events,
yep.
revenue generation, I mean,
distribution,
all of it is there, and it's just a level of engagement that in a way we haven't seen before, because it brings in things online and we're interconnected globally. But in a way, sports has been primed for esports and has been priming esports for a good long time. Some things we're trying to figure out on the esports side of it, we work through and certainly the excitement of an organization like NYXL, Excelsior,
yep.
Is about hitting on which parts of sports in general, traditional sports, new sports, whatever, sports, and how you get it right is a challenge across the board.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, I think from our perspective, you know, we work with youth, you know, K-12, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we originally approached principals with the idea of doing esports, we got one of two questions. One, what are you talking about? What are esports,
mm-hmm.
right? Principals
yeah.
have a lot of things to worry about. They may not know about what's happening in that world. And
mm-hmm.
two, if they did know, they would say, wait a minute, so you're just going to be playing video games with our kids. And so we quickly realized that we can't just do that. And so we,
mm-hmm.
you know, our program was about an hour and a half each day. The kids would play, you know, FIFA or NBA 2K for 45 minutes and then
mm-hmm.
go and play the sport for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
good
know,
on you. Congratulations.
Yeah, it has somewhat of esports in general has somewhat of a negative connotation to, I would say, not millennials, because we grew up doing it, but our parents certainly are like, wait a minute, people are getting paid for this? They just can't fathom the idea that someone is going to get paid to play this, and that other people are going to watch them play.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that market is certainly fascinating for, you know, my parents' generation, just to see them kind of witness it and watch their reactions to it.
Yeah, well, yes to all of that. I mean, you should go, I think, for, in a way, different generations are looking at it and go, Ninja earns how much money per month just from people watching him play games and subscribe, you know, and subscriptions? And just you almost can't imagine. On the other hand, people have played games
forever.
A good long time, right? And this is part of civilization. Look, you know, anthropologists and archaeologists go through ancient civilizations, and guess what? People were playing games, and they were participating in athletic activity. And it's just the way that we do it. And really, it's the modern and, in a way, future version of how we come together and how we play games. And that's the brilliant thing about sports, and not just esports, but sports, which is, it's community, and it's activity.
Yeah, brings people together.
It's competition.
Yep.
It's all these, it's very human.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would just, by the way, also say it's kind of interesting because in a lot of our work with the mayors that I was mentioning a bit earlier, they're a similar generation, not all of them, but a good many of them said, come to, as we've worked in this this relationship that we have with the Mayor's Professional Sports Alliance, we said, okay, what is it my children are playing, my grandchildren are playing, my nephew is playing, my niece is playing.
It's here.
What it, what, you know, I know it's important, I know it's relevant, people are talking about what is it, why is it working, how do we get involved, what's the right way to do it? And of course, you were mentioning earlier about youth. It's for you, it's youth, it's adults, it's people of all stripes, of all types. You know, esports is for everyone.
Yep, it really is. Yeah, I think that's something we saw too, is that, you know, when we do traditional sports, you kind of see the same type of child playing playing soccer, playing basketball, playing football. In esports, we had every type of kid. I mean, legitimately. I mean, and a lot of kids that may not necessarily be playing that traditional sport, and that's kind of what we were trying to tap into, is can we get a non-traditional athlete to maybe like basketball or soccer more than they would have, because to go out and try out for a team is, that's a big deal, and it's nerve-wracking, and so to bring them in with esports, something that they love to do, and then, oh wow, I actually do like basketball more than I thought, and I think that was kind of one of our thoughts and initiatives throughout the entire project.
Yeah.
All right, I know you got to get out of here. One last question.
Yeah.
A lot of people think it's the hardest one. Favorite New York City slice?
Oh, this is a, this, it is a hard question.
Yep, everyone thinks it's the hardest one.
So this is actually a big subject of conversation in more than a few places I've been, including in my classrooms.
Yep, I can imagine. I'm sure NYU students have all the,
all
the spots down.
So this was, actually, we were talking about this just a few days ago in the consumer behavior course I was mentioning, because the students go out into the city and sort of look at some things, and we had to come back and talk about not only what was happening and how it's happening, but sort of why people are doing things they do and how situations are set up and all these sorts of things. And the, at one point, we got in talking about pizza, and I'm not afraid to say it, but I'm almost wondering what's going to happen. You know, I think you have to ask the question, is New York City pizza overrated?
Oh, wow. First time that's
you got to ask it.
Huh? I went to school in
I'm
Ohio,
not saying
so
it.
I say no. I had no good pizza for 4 years.
See, everybody's got an answer.
I say no.
One of the best slices, I'm saying, you got to ask the question, is it overrated?
I say no. I say it's perfectly rated. Even if it's not the best. And
I'm
I
not giving,
Connecticut. Connecticut's got great pizza.
Connecticut has pizza. Yeah, it's got pizza. Actually, it has great pizza.
So do you think it's overrated?
But that's a way, you know,
that's
you can start picking spots there, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, then I realized pretty quickly, it got into the, well, are you talking about 99 cent pizza?
I know.
Are you talking
a
about
pie?
There's
a difference between a pie
and
slice.
A slice? Well, you asked about slices, you know.
Slices, that's usually
are we going
the question.
There? Are we going to, you know, how do you break this up? So this is a big, I say, you know, I'll just welcome people to come into to any of these courses where we have this discussion. I'm going to leave it open-ended because I say the search continues. Do you have
okay.
cornmeal on the bottom? Do you like cornmeal
wow.
on the bottom?
Wow.
Or not?
I don't not like it. I've had
interesting.
It before. I, you know, not bad.
Yeah. These are big questions.
I think we need to beef up our pizza question. I guess this wasn't enough. First, this is the first non-answer, though.
It's not a non-answer.
You have a fish, but not no. You're not going to put one out there.
It's not a non-answer.
No free advertising.
It's that the search continues,
okay.
and you got to be out there asking the right questions. All and right. the question
is it overrated?
To what extent is New York City pizza overrated?
All right.
That gives you a basis, and then you can you
then
know you can
that.
Go from there.
All right. Well, yeah. definitely a different answer than we usually get. Usually, people are right away.
Where
but,
are people going? This is the heart of our conversation.
Oh
I can
man,
tell.
We've
I can see
had
the look. People won't be able to see the look on your face.
Yeah, we've had all the classics like Joe's
yeah.
and Grimaldi's and stuff like that. We've had a couple Boston people on that have gone back to Boston and suggested
oh, well, yeah,
pizza.
Yeah. I see that
so
happening.
We've
okay.
had a lot of classic answers. Not too many
yeah.
hole in the wall spots that you don't know of, but a lot of classics.
Yeah,
which is to be expected. I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
People want to stay middle
that's what
road.
I'm saying. That's why you got to go with the question.
Yeah. I'll go to New Haven. That's the best pizza.
Oh, well, see. There you go. Now you're breaking into Connecticut.
I know, now we're breaking into
somebody's going to come from way out west in New, you know, in New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Over there
yeah,
on the other side
there.
Of the river. the far west.
Yep, yep.
You know, then they're going to stake their claim. So
all right.
It's well, good. It's a good question. Then you got bagels.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another question. That's for the next time
yeah,
we get
next
together.
Next time we're gonna have you on again.
Yeah.
Lee, really okay. appreciate you coming on. I know you got to get out of here. Thank you so much
no,
for your
you
time, and you know, have a great rest of your semester, and we'll talk soon.
Great. Thank you so much for letting me in on the conversation.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Game. Make sure to subscribe in the iTunes Store and be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram @KidsInTheGameNY and Facebook @KidsInTheGameNYC.